Go.
Joy.
Yeah,
Howdy.
Introduce yourself. Yeah. Why are we here? That kind of thing. Johnny's on his way here. He's detained. It might involve handcuffs. We're not sure.
Only willingly.
Yeah, well, I didn't say why, but yeah.
Well, I guess we could start basic stuff, and we'll have the accessories a little bit later on once they get here. I'm Fuller. This is Hacking 201. Randall's amused by a little bright point
bright
of light.
Yes, the cats in the room are going crazy. Yes.
Meow, meow, meow.
Yes. I got him started. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
And?
All right. Oh, I'm Jeff again from last night.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Randall.
Hey.
Howdy.
All right. So this is basically Q&A. So Q and we'll A. And this is Hacking 201.
Hacking 201. Yeah.
And
I have a quick question before we start Q&A.
Yes.
How many people here were not in Hacking 101 last night?
You missed it. You missed it. You missed. You missed the live sex. You missed it.
Or bring the money.
Ah, yes.
They pay for pizza.
Do we? Wow. Yeah. Right. If you're in the front and you weren't at 101, move back.
Another quick question. How many people know the rules of the accessories that we're going to be handing out?
Yes. We have somebody who knows. We have one person that knows. Three.
Okay.
Three people
Let me put it this way. Ask good questions, you get good stuff. Ask stupid questions like, what is hack? Or as God forbid, teach me art of hack is a very bad thing. Anybody who's been on the SC2600 email list last year would know what that is.
Yes.
And why that person is permanently banned off the email list.
Yeah.
So as a result, ask stupid, dumb questions. Another quick thing. How many people here are under, officially?
Under the age of 21.
Yeah, I guess.
21 here. All right, okay. No beer for you.
Of course not.
Officially.
If they ask you,
no beer for you.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
The questions, I get it.
Yes.
Now,
right. It's all delegated. Yes. Then it's your father's responsibility to make sure you get it while it's open.
In case anybody does have minors that come in and they're noticeably underage, we might have some other stuff. Johnny X said we might have some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Jolt Cola. I don't know.
Maybe he's still at the liquor store.
No, the liquor store has been and done. That was the last night.
Is this a state where liquor stores aren't open on
Sunday?
Yes.
Oh.
Welcome to the
Bible. Okay. Oh, by the way, hey.
So sorry for you.
We are not stuck in.
No, it's not until like, it's a little bit, yeah, true.
All right, so.
Quick thing, do we have a mic boy this time?
Who is the mic guy? Mic guy who's running the mics around? Do we need one? Do we need one, I think.
I'll do it.
How, either that or turn around one of the mics.
Yeah.
Hey, turn around on the mics. If you want to, come up, talk.
You're going to have to come up to get your beer, your thing of choice anyway, so. You want to do it that way? I don't know. How we do the last
Okay, year? How about this? Who has questions?
Okay, questions. We're now taking questions. Anybody with a question? Who brought the chocolate? That's not
what
a very good question.
Yeah, it is. No beer for you.
No beer for you.
I don't see chocolate.
You had a previous one, so. We don't have it yet. Oh, yeah, I know. So, next question, because we don't know how to answer that.
I have to stump the panel.
Do you think you get extra points for that? No.
Unless it's beyond insanely complex and technical, then you
I'll
might.
I'll tell you what, in my big book up here, I'll put an extra star by your name.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, an extra star.
Ooh. Questions. Questions about anything.
Good.
Uh-oh.
Start with anything.
Why can't you have the fun you can? Or used to with payphones now, why can you not, generate tones?
It's digital instead of analog.
But now can you do something with digital? I understand there are exploits with cell phones.
Two, who owns payphones nowadays?
Just about everybody. Not one particular company.
Well, let me put it this way. Who does not own payphones nowadays?
Phone company.
Bell South gave up their entire payphone sales. They are in the process still of converting 18,000 plus payphones are out. From my understanding, I don't know if anybody else has done Freaking or read up on Freaking recently. Pretty much, it's it is digital, but it's not stuff you can put in right into the handset. It is stuff done on the phone side of it, right into the line. You have to get in the line, or if you really wanted to, go find a nice cross box nearby and plug your own handset line set in. Or you find one that's been left open and causes your T1 connection to your locations to die overnight. been there, done that, and we blamed it on the water and the rain and them leaving it open overnight. But they said, oh, that has
no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah! In tradition, you have to run down the road. Because that's all late people run.
Yeah. In the middle.
I kind of figured that. It's how do I get there?
Over the top.
Let me
unload, and then I have an announcement to make.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
This doesn't sound good.
Packing 201 is back at the summer.
No. Last night we collected
$3.
$133 for the beer.
Wow.
And we actually spent $170. Or more. I forget what the exact total was.
And we got those four bottles.
What I do not have.
Uh-oh.
Now, when we attempted to bring the beer into the Hyatt, we got jumped by security about 10 steps inside, who said, "You cannot bring this in here."
Ooh.
At which point, one of the people with us pulled out his room card and said, "I have a room here." And security people said, "You have to pay us a portage fee."
No.
And I said, now wait a minute. Beer that we bought and brought over here from across the street that we're simply walking up to our room. We were not being rowdy. We were not being obnoxious. We were simply crossing the floor, kind of out of the way of the people, making sure we weren't walking in between people, taking photographs of people in costumes. You want us to pay money to take our beer to our hotel room that we're paying you for the conference that we paid to attend. Yeah. Fuck you, buddy. You are working hard to keep the Hyatt safe from outside sources of beer. I hope your parents are proud with your choice of career and ambition. You will go far in life as a Nazi stormtrooper.
Working at the airport.
Now, well, hey, yeah, maybe they were kicked out of the airport or something. I don't know.
There is a well-known terrorist.
This just really kind of pissed me off because later that night, I saw a gentleman walking around in a Punisher costume who had two very realistic Glocks strapped to his waist, and I couldn't tell if they were replicas or not. They were not pieced by or not. They sure as hell looked real to me. And he said no one had stopped him, no one had questioned him, no one had asked him anything. So apparently the Hyatt doesn't give a shit if you run around with guns in here, but you better not try to bring beer in here from outside.
Guns don't kill people, beer kills people.
I think you should complain because our contract is going to be up for renewal here and we can go to better hotels. And we're not happy with the management here this year. They changed management and they've kind of ticked us off in various ways. Now,
you should have put a hat over it.
Hang on.
Why are you still in the downstairs door like everybody else?
Wait. The story does have a happy ending because you'll notice I was a little bit late. There was a reason for that. Stupid Nazi security peons are not going to keep me between...
Oh, you're not going to make me start this all over again, are you? I'm just getting riled up. Okay. The stupid Nazi security guys are not going to keep me and my beer out of this room. And it's not... Yeah. It's very, very easy to outsmart these guys. So let's show how easy it is to outsmart these guys. Viva la Beervolution!
Yeah. Beer.
So you guys keep talking and we're going to go ahead and...
Beer. We're short about three already so far, so we got to get this caught up. You know who you are. Come up to the front if you're owed. All right, so not beer, not beer, 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 not beer, not beer, beer, beer.
Line it all up across the front here, that way we don't have to dig it out later.
Yes, come up, get him. Come on up.
Come on up.
Grab.
Next to question, who has a can opener?
You physically should take them now.
All right, officially I'll take
them. I got 11.
Yeah, physically, and move them away.
Take them now if we owe them to you, because you ain't going to get them later.
You know what's sad? Hey, you know what's sad? Now that I'm actually over 21, I don't have a can opener anymore.
These don't need can openers. Watch.
We know who they are. The rest of you have to ask questions.
You do know me, because I paid
what?
For
you.
I guess I should take all this stuff out of here.
Go ahead and grab what
paid for.
Did you went and get it because you got questions last night?
Now, who's new to Hacking 201?
Get out.
All right, so here's how it works.
Heads up in the back of the room. Heads up.
Ouch.
You gotta stop bouncing it off the ceiling.
Yeah.
Flatter arc, yeah, your trajectory a bit. Okay,
right. Right.
This is very much participation, question and answer driven. You ask
have a red
questions, and we give you answers. And if you ask good questions,
and I've got mine, I'll help.
We'll toss you a beer, but we have to ask this.
This is what we've got.
Are you of legal drinking age in this state? And of course, the answer is
yes.
We did all, somebody should have told Johnny we did all this already moments ago.
Johnny, we did this already.
Johnny, we did this already moments ago.
Yeah, plausible deniability are the magic words here. So one more time, I just want to make sure we're all together on this. Are you all of legal drinking age in this state?
Yes.
All right. Do we have any really young children here?
No.
Kill them.
Fuck yeah. All right.
I think that's how they got the really young children, by doing that.
Yes.
Are we going to even try to organize the beer?
No. We've got some homebrew stuff here. The gentleman who brewed the stuff originally brought it to Jason Science Practice. This is his cooler that I owe him, so he'll show up later. And the stuff was really good. We were giving it out to people
who asked.
There's
one left.
Huh?
One what? Only one beer?
Homebrew beer.
Oh, one of the homebrews.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so,
man.
This is good stuff.
I'll trade that.
No, no, we've got it. Well, we're going to ration this out into smaller pieces.
Yeah, save those for the super questions.
And it's really good. He will be in here before too much longer. He's going to need crash space tonight. In return for crash space tonight, he will brew us a lot of beer next year.
Wow. All right.
Where's the church?
Someone's orange.
Oh, who's got the openers?
Somebody's camera?
Somebody's got a Leatherman, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a bad idea. For whoever asked the most ridiculous bozo question.
And we're not going to toss it to you either. Most of the time, you'll punch it like this. This one, you get like this.
Would a CPM worm be a good idea?
CPM worm?
Beer!
Oh, you'd affect all three systems still running CPM, yeah.
My wife used to do tech support for a worm, K-Pro.
Yeah.
Too many K's, not enough pros.
Yes. Oh, look, something more is coming
here,
in.
So y'all,
okay,
y'all talking about
back to questions.
Is this another cooler, Johnny?
Next question. What? I see beer.
Cool. We've got beer up here.
Right.
Yeah. There should only be one source of beer. Yeah. Please bring the beer up front.
Did you get challenged bringing this in?
No.
Johnny, you're famous.
Johnny, they stopped me coming in here tonight.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, excuse me, ma'am. I was like,
I walked this past security.
Why did they stop?
Yeah, good too.
Holy moly.
Look at that. That's cool. Really?
Yes.
Four?
Thanks for writing the girl books from O'Reilly.
Oh. No, say that out loud. Send to these guys. This is great. This guy is so cool. This guy. Okay, I gotta say, man.
I've got a portable mic. Look at me. I'm walking around with a mic.
Okay, hold on. This guy just handed me this bottle, this fifth of some very strong alcohol. Extremely strong, extremely good tasting alcohol. And it was in exchange for the fact that I've written a few books and made an ass of myself from time to time from here. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. Thank you. This guy's a hero. Right here, this guy's a hero. Thank you. Thank you.
I am, my name is Chris Knight, and professionally, I'm a sysadmin and a programmer. And in 1997, I had an offer to do some contract programming for a company in California.
Uh-huh.
They said, do I know Perl? I went down to the bookstore. I bought two of his books. I called him back and said, yes, I do.
He knows the routine.
By the time the first day of the contract started, I had learned a hell of a lot about Perl from his books and have made a ton of money over the years. If you haven't read his books, go buy them.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Downloading them off Alt Binary's eBooks Technical does not count.
Yes. You deprive me of my $1.50 that O'Reilly pays me for each one of those, so please don't.
There's a lot of Guinness in here. Good God.
Yes. Don't worry. We'll
Breakfast of Champions.
Right. Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got to earn them. So
right.
To earn
questions.
Them, you have to ask questions.
Questions.
Raise
questions.
Them.
Questions.
Bang it.
All right. Come on, Stuart.
All right. Yesterday, Randall had mentioned that if you were running EtherCap in password capture mode and not knowing what it, how it's working, that you might be considered a script kiddie. So for the benefit of everyone in this room, could someone on the panel explain briefly the theory behind ARP poisoning?
Whoa.
ARP poisoning?
Well, I'm sober and I can't even do
that. ARP poisoning, from my understanding, is how many know what MAC addresses are? They're basically the hardware equivalent of, you know, each NIC. Each NIC.
Yes.
What ARP poisoning, from my general understanding of data security, not in the ultra low level of TCP/IP programming, but of the theory behind it, is: do you know what a broadcast storm is? Like a ping, you ping the broadcast and it starts broadcasting. You know, you get everything bounce everything off. What ARP poisoning is basically sending lots of stuff to a switch, because a switch. A hub is just dumb. It just routes data, usually. A switch actually stores which MAC addresses are connected to which port. What you do is your computer sends out a flood of MAC addresses and says, hey, I'm this MAC address. Hey, I'm this MAC address. Hey, I'm this MAC address. And every time you do it, it'll say, okay, here's the data. And that's basically the general level of what ARP poisoning is. It's a lot more complicated. You can actually, there are ways you can get around that. Cisco and any good managed switch has ways you can lock that down, which makes it virtually impossible to do that anymore. It just depends. Your normal run-of-the-day mill, you know, Linksys switch or any other switch you buy, even the cheap Ciscos, are susceptible to ARP poisoning.
Specifically, too, what it also means is that the ARPing, which happens whenever you send to an IP address, there's machines don't really have an IP address at the level 2 where they're actually sending packets back and forth. They have a MAC address. So somebody's got to be able to figure out how to turn the IP address to the MAC address, and there's a protocol for that called ARP. Now, what ARP poisoning is whenever anybody says, what's the MAC address for this IP address so I can talk directly to that box, your box is saying, I'm him. And the problem with that, and it can also even send out preemptively, it can send out and says, I'm him and him and him and him and him and him. So it sends out everything. And what happens then is you can become a man in the middle. So that instead of the traffic going directly to the router or directly to the other box that the guy wants to talk to, he's talking first to you and you talk to the other guy. All of a sudden with man in the middle things, SSH1, for example, is vulnerable to that, some forms of that. And so it can actually get in the middle, EtherCap can get in the middle and watch conversations that way.
Yeah.
Does that help? You knew that, so you just wanted a beer. All right, we'll get up here. Hey! See, that's how easy it is. Ask a question you know the answer to, and you still get a beer and us babbling for 4 minutes. That's
someone
great.
Hasn't asked the ultimate social engineering question, though, the one that started this whole panel off. I'll take Mr. Cyborg back here.
Can I have a beer?
Yes, but that only works once.
Yeah! That's nice. Yeah, that works.
Well, we need to put the warm Guinness down on one end.
Sir John, can I have two?
No.
I don't know. Your dad's...
Your dad can have two.
I think we should put this up to the audience. Now, I said specifically, you know, the ultimate social engineering question, but you can only ask once. He, however, did not ask that question. He asked a different question. So what do y'all think?
It was a derivative question. By copyright laws, it would have been infringing.
No, I think it was very clever. I vote yay. Randall votes no.
Yes.
It's not directly derivative. It's called research.
Survey says.
Yes.
What the
now
hell?
Now you can't ask for any more beer.
Yeah, three is not. No, it's part of the pattern. If we find a lumberjack, we'll send him back. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Sleep all night in a work. Oh, these aren't karaoke mics? I'm sorry. All right.
That's okay, Randall. You can anytime your little heart desires.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. Someday we'll find it, the Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Where's Miss Piggy? I know she's out here somewhere.
Where's your green liquid?
Put Guinness back here. Just for
that was earlier.
Okay, do we have more questions? Guy, one more back.
Guy.
Wait for Mike.
Guy in black shirt.
Kind of on this, on a similar concept, which switches are more susceptible to ARP flooding for things like, oh, I don't know, reading email, you know, forcing it to go back into a hub mode?
The ones that are on.
Well, let me put this up. Two quick answers. One, read a bug track to figure out which ones have the latest vulnerabilities for that. And two, are you theoretically the network admin in charge of a switch? Or are you just an employee that, or other IT official that's not in charge of network administration or data security?
How does that affect the question?
Okay. Depending on the size of your organization, you might have people who watch for stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. In that case, you'll see the moment they do it. And if you have a good Cisco switch or HP or Linksys makes some of their managed switches, D-Link. What's amazing? How many people here have like a Linksys wireless Wi-Fi or router or anything?
WRT54G. That's 802.11 A and B router.
And it can be repatched to actually be a full.
How many people know they make a enterprise level switch? It's just basically a super modified 5-port switch that is now 24 ports and fully managed.
Cool.
Oh, and as a hint, don't buy the Linksys switches because they suck, because if you look on it, if you're not 90 degrees dead on to the lights, all the lights look like they're on. So, because what they do is the LEDs are like a quarter inch behind the front panel.
Yeah.
Unlike every other switch where the light, you know, the lights are there, they shine right into the plastic. Theirs, we actually, you know, they're like that far back, and it's like, okay, we look, and it's like, it's up in a you know, wire management. Yeah. On another side note, if any of us start rambling, just interject. You know?
So,
yeah,
beer.
We call that the
beer.
Rattle exception. Those of you who remember Mr. Rattle from years past.
Did you get the beer already? You get
your beer? Rattle would go on like 10-minute tirades about something.
Yeah, we just started timing him as he ranted, and he gradually realized something was up when everyone began laughing at him, and then that's when the beer fight broke out. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, just for that guy who just asked that question, Charter has a whole lot of those switches.
Sweet. They're 50 miles
south of me. Cool. Next question, please. In the back, the middle, that kind of back, middle thing.
Are you that drunk yet?
Yes.
Welcome. Randall, what did you get charged for?
Oh, that's an hour and a half question.
Give a shortened version.
The really, really, really short version is I pissed Intel off, and they're the largest employer in the state of Oregon. And they just embarrassed a VP as well, and as a result, they basically got the local DA to prosecute me on a law that basically makes what I'm about to do illegal. Here's a nice cell phone. Okay, here's a cell phone. I'm going to change the screen just slightly by pushing the menu button. Okay, that just changed the screen. That is a Class C felony in Oregon, $100,000, 5 years in jail, what I just did right there. Okay, so obviously it's selectively enforced. Okay, and they decided to use it against me. And believe it or not, most of the states in the U.S. have roughly the same bad law, and you're in trouble too. But you're not in trouble unless you want to be unless somebody wants you to be in trouble, and I got prosecuted for that. 15 minutes of work to try to help the guys that have paid my bills for 5 years, and I'm a triple felon for it.
Has anyone got an older television set that goes up to UHF channel 83? Yeah, you know, it's a new one, top out around, was it, upper 60s, lower 70s. They lopped off those top TV channels, and that's where 800 megahertz cell phones originally lived back in the 80s, and now that's where trunked 800 megahertz emergency services are. The cell phone industry created, basically they lied, and they and their lobbyists lied. I mean, yeah, I know this is surprising, and they got everyone up in Congress believing that all you had to do was pass a law and no one would be able to listen to 800 megahertz cell phones, despite the fact that there were millions of police scanners out there that were designed to listen to cell phone conversation, you know, to listen to this band of frequencies. 800 megahertz cell phones were not encrypted in any way, shape, form, or fashion. They simply broadcast in the clear on those frequencies. And overnight, through some PR spin, some media manipulation, and paying off money to gullible Congress critters, scanning and ham radio became, it turned from what was, you know, what's considered kind of a geeky but harmless hobby, a techie thing. Lots of people use that and start their college careers, stay with it. It became electronic stalking. I mean, headlines on newspapers, electronic stalkers are eavesdropping on your conversations, despite the fact we didn't really put any security into this system before we deployed it. And one of the laws that was passed, the Electronic Communication Privacy Act, made it illegal to listen to this range of frequencies. First time in American history it was illegal to listen to something that was being broadcast in the clear. Military didn't have any problem if you listened to their traffic. If they didn't want you to hear something, they encrypted it. And that's the way it had been for decades. Well, that opened the door for all sorts of different bands of frequencies to suddenly become illegal to listen to, illegal to monitor, and that kind of paved the way, in a sense, for DMCA and other bad laws. The point of this whole thing, if you've got one of these older television sets and you turn your unmodified television set onto one of those upper frequencies, television set you owned, a TV signal is 6 megahertz wide. These 800 megahertz cell frequencies are about 30K wide. If you get really lucky, the audio portion of that TV signal, where the audio signal is transmitted, will just happen to land on an active cell conversation. You'll hear traffic. That's a felony. It's a felony for you to turn on your an old television set you own and perhaps pick up an unencrypted broadcast in the clear conversation. Yes, sir.
I know in the state of Florida there are a lot of restrictions like that, except if you're a ham radio operator.
Wouldn't apply here.
No. I did rant about this a couple of years ago and actually looked up specifically the law and brought in printouts, and we went over it word by word, and it's pretty stupid. I guess these guys didn't know what they were signing, which is sadly the case in a lot of time.
Most of the time they don't know what they're signing. They don't have time to read this 1,000-page bill.
That's what we're paying their fucking salaries for. I mean, that's my main gripe. We are paying them with our tax dollars to, you know, to basically run the country and, you know, our best interest. To I don't want to say run the country, to manage the country, to make it, you know, make this a good place for everyone, in theory, supposedly. And they're not even reading these bills that lobbyists are handing them to sign.
See, that's the thing. The lobbyists pay them a lot better than we do.
But we can vote them out of office. I mean,
no,
yeah.
We don't.
What?
We have a lot of beer to give away.
Next question.
Yeah, that's another theoretical right there.
Hey, recently in the news. Over the
hey, question.
Well, yeah, that'll recently, get into Diebold stuff later. Sorry.
Recently in the news, over the past year or so, you've in Atlanta and just in Georgia in general, you've seen a lot of people that have basically been taking ATM numbers. And I was just wondering, really, like, what kind of encryption ATMs actually have that you actually have to get through.
Well, which part of the, you mean the ATM itself?
Yeah. Like,
they
would be
okay.
Up to, like,
currently,
the ATM machine itself.
What federal law do you think there is concerning encryption on ATM traffic?
None.
What it is Visa and MasterCard both own the ATM network. So what they do is all institutions have until January 5th, 2005 to implement triple day security. Currently, I know this because we just switched out all of our ATMs at $30,000 pop. Wonderful. Running Windows XP embedded, in case somebody wants to know. Well, let me put it this way. Well, yes, but how many people remember Code Red? And how many people remember Bank of America ATMs all over the world going down? Uh-huh. You want to know why? Because they were running a basic install of Windows XP embedded right off the CD.
Wow.
As a result, you know what their solution is? One, they've patched up to whatever the current version is that you've installed the ATM. You have to have a maintenance contract and pay the company that provides the ATMs to come out and do an update to it. But they provided a nice little personal firewall addition that only lets in and out their ATM traffic, which is decent because the only traffic that comes in and out is directly to and from your host provider. Now, for an institution, you now have triple DES traffic running over your network to a private VPN link or frame relay right to the host operator. I cannot comment on our host connection, but because we don't own that. But everything, well, let me put it this way. The security is tight enough that I cannot ask any one person any good details of their internal systems. It's good. In a relation, how many people here have ADP processing for their paywall? And a lot of people should have ADP, their number one provider. I actually knew one of their VPs a couple years ago here in Georgia, and they have it such that no one person, I mean, their programmers and network admins have to be escorted in 2x2 to their processing mainframe areas. Everything is completely biometric and, you know, card swipe, multiple level getting their building. The host vendors for the ATM network are just pretty much the same. Now, how many people have seen the movie Swordfish? Okay. How many people do you think, how much do you think it's possible to break into an institution like that? Or the Federal Reserve Bank? Is
it possible?
Well, let me put it this way. Is it possible? Yes. You have to do a hell of a lot of work.
It's not going to be in 60 seconds.
No, it's definitely not going to be in 60 seconds. And it's not going to be in the
time's running.
It's not going to be in the front room. The Federal Reserve Bank is a completely offline system. We're not allowed to plug our computers that talk to the Federal Reserve Bank into a network. If we do, we can get shut down just for doing that once. That is how tightly their systems are controlled. So just as general understanding, by January 1st, it's going to be a little bit more difficult doing triple DES. But right now, any machine that's running single DES or running OS2, you know, Warp, which our old ATMs were, or if you go to Town Center Mall, I don't know how many people here live near Town Center Mall, but the ATM at the end of the food court runs NEC 386 DOS. Yeah. So, and has a mode, and has a, and the other thing is, How many of you have ever gone to a gas station and gotten money out of a freestanding ATM?
None of your life.
Well,
those things are scams.
Yes, but how?
Desperation.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the middle of Iowa and it's 2 a.m. and you need cash out in, you know, just a little bit,
you're
just
already
in case.
Screwed at that point.
Well, yeah.
In the middle of Iowa needing cash.
Yeah.
The Iowa part was the giveaway.
Yeah. How many? If you look behind there, there's a nice little phone jack and a nice little power plug. What does it take to plug into that? Because they're usually pulled out from the wall, and so it gives you easy access when it breaks.
Yes. Besides that, though, there's a couple of things besides the connection between the ATM and the thing. There's two scams that have been going on with ATMs. One is a complete fake ATM being set up. I don't know if anybody's heard this story, but it's great. They went into a mall. And they had official-looking coats and stuff on, and they set up this ATM that was completely fake, except it would give out some money, just so nobody really caught on. It would give out, you know, they stocked it with, like, you know, a couple $1,000 every day, just so it would give out, like, a few 20s and stuff to a few people. But almost all the other time it would say, you know, error, you know, C, whatever. And by that time, they'd already caught the PIN number, the card number, and everything. And they came back in 3 weeks later, took everything out. And it was a completely fake ATM, and they made tons of money off that one, basically striping fake cards and using them all over the place. The other thing is that it's also popping up, not using a fake ATM, but using a fake front for an ATM. So these things are like little card readers that kind of adhere right over the card slot, and little TV cameras that are watching the PIN numbers as they're being typed. So the real ATM is still doing the real thing, but they're capturing PIN numbers and card numbers that way. So both of those scams are happening all over the world, or all over the U.S. anyway, and those are the
on a note of that.
They don't get that technical. They just take bulldozers and go in and break
them. Oh, that's easier than
yeah.
That.
Well, there is the story about the one guy who tied chains around the ATM and ripped it out with his Ford truck dragging.
They would do that here in Georgia, yeah.
Well,
so does the gentleman deserve a beer?
Beer.
Yes, no.
Yes.
Beer, the beer, whoever just asked, come on up.
I have one quick thing in addition to that. How many people have ever paid attention to the top of their receipt when they use their Visa credit card or check card? How many people have ever seen their account number or most of their account number and or an expiration date on it? How many people have seen that in the past month?
Usually just like the last four digits or something.
How many people know that it's actually been against Visa regulations for the past year to do that? And that the person who does it can get they can get their merchant account closed by Visa International. Yeah. If you really want to complain, tell them that per Visa, the end merchant is not responsible for that equipment. They have to go to their originating merchant account provider or a bank or whatever their provider is to do that. So if you ever want to get concerned, just ask them to go do that.
Alrighty, next question. Next.
Yeah, this question goes back to kind of what he was getting at with the frequencies of the radio. I was at a coffee shop that generally just happens to provide a wireless network access.
Cool.
And for some reason they get pissed when you use their network and don't buy their coffee for $8 a cup.
They should secure the wires.
That might be.
Not if you flirt with a barista, they don't.
Well, they,
if he flirts with the barista, you never know.
No, I yeah. Yeah, they'll hit me.
Yeah, but it might work for him, too.
Do you have an internet connection?
But the problem I ran across was, is I was just sitting right outside. They won't let you smoke inside. Because I was sitting outside, and they told me their network was for customers only. And I was wondering if, I mean, there was no real way they could stop me. I'm like, sure, I'll leave, you know, and go sit in the car 50 yards away and still access
Thank
it.
You, sir. Thanks.
But is there any place that you guys know of where you can get information about the laws of the wireless?
Well,
technically, if it's open if there's nothing stating or if they don't point you to proxy, from my understanding, it's wide open.
No, I'll beg to differ.
Well,
I will beg to differ since I'm a felon for the very same yes. reason that you're talking about.
Like him with the TV.
Right.
I don't know that law.
Right.
How can I find that information that I'm going to go to jail for turning my TV on?
Ignorance is no excuse.
If you could argue, yeah, right. At least in the state of Oregon, I think Georgia has similar laws from when I looked last time I talked about it here. Any unauthorized alteration of a computer or computer system or anything basically with a PC or a program counter in it, which is basically everything now, is a felony. So they, if they wanted to get you bad enough, they could convince a DA that having even used their network is altering the state of their machine. And as long as it's altering the state of their machine, it falls under the purvey of this law.
Is that, was that law you were talking about earlier, yeah. with changing the screen?
Yeah.
Is that what...
Yeah, it's wow. it's really broad. In fact, we argued in court that it was overbroad. It applies to everything. And because it applies to everything, the only way it could even be valid is for it to be selectively enforced, and selectively enforced is unconstitutional. So we did argue that unsuccessfully, unfortunately.
Wasn't there a priest just a couple weeks ago who was sitting outside of a library doing that?
And yes, yeah, I read that.
In New York?
I think it was New York.
Yeah.
And
the priests. They'll stop nowhere.
So does the guy deserve a beer? Yes, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good question. Beer.
Oh, what was the question?
Along that same line, with most of the new laptops now, Dell, IBM, everybody that's packing in Wi-Fi, how are the laws? I know they're still vague.
In case you don't drink.
How are the laws now where you're sitting with your laptop thinking you're at home and you're jacking into somebody else's Wi-Fi? How are they changing the laws now to handle that where all these things multi-home, and if you're close, you know, sitting in the upstairs of your house, you jack on somebody else's Wi-Fi, whether it's open or not, how are they holding that? Because it was still a gray area last time I looked.
Because it was your fault for not changing it to begin with. You have the tools to configure it.
Doesn't it suck that the laws don't even correspond to reality, huh? You know, that's really the point.
Stuff to distract the audience with needlessly. Let's see.
Beer. Give beer.
Connection one here, SSID is core. It's channel 6. It's a Linksys AP, and it's not using any encryption. The second one I've got here, SSID, is DCREG. I wonder what that stands for. Channel 1, it's a D-Link. Again, AP mode, but they're using WEP. So, we've got something called Core that apparently is using...
He's 14 minutes from having the other one decrypted, though.
And as far as, doing the sign, I'm surprised no one asked about this. I got a remote, and this thing has an infrared sensor on here, so if you want to pass the remote around
if,
and play
if you have
with
a
it,
device that uses infrared...
this is a challenge.
If you can get it to work, besides just using the remote, if you have, like, a Palm Pilot that does infrared... You get an extra. I'll vote for giving you an extra beer if you can make the sign do something.
Yeah, that's true because it uses one of those funky infrared modes
2%
that the Palm
complete.
Pilot doesn't use. Yeah. Let's see.
Just as a note, do not use the wall to open the beer bottle. Just a hint. Not saying any names.
Or pointing any fingers or anything like
We've
that.
We've got a Leatherman up here, so there we go.
Put a laser pointer.
The sign says on one side, absolution guaranteed. Sin all you want this weekend without fear of damnation or eternal torment. Freelance religious professional with ordinations in 27 mail order ministries will forgive any transgression. Tips and donations, i.e. money, booze, drugs, root, sex. Cheerfully accepted. Note, sex. Females only must be 18 or older. I had a problem
root
with that at
before sex, though. Root before sex, yes.
I did DEFCON 8, and let's see. The only things I had on there were booze, root and sex. I got drunk out of my mind. I got root on 14 systems, and after I checked the first two, and by God, I did have root on them, I stopped because three of them were military systems, and I wasn't going anywhere near that.
As a quick poll.
And as for the sex, the only people who offered me sex were guys, so that's when I had to rewrite my code, basically. And
I know
the girl
offering
you
sex.
Huh? What?
He said,
wait a minute.
You have girls
next question.
Where?
I think.
Who?
Ask him.
He's better. As a quick thing.
The other side says cattle prod. S&M fun. Klingon foreplay. Caffeine substitute. Drunken test. Oh, manliness and or stupidity. $1 per hit.
Yeah. What two systems do you think are the stupidest to ever try and hack into? What two types of systems do you think are the two number one stupidest things to try and break into?
Military.
Well, yes, mine. Thank you.
Yes.
How about okay?
Get a beer for
get
that.
One.
Yes.
Get one.
Get up here. Get up here. That was good.
Okay.
Clever answers are worth.
Yes.
A little cleverness goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but where were we?
As we're evidencing.
Two types.
Military and financial.
Well. I'm referencing military and government kind of in the same boat.
People with guns.
But those people have no sense of humor. None whatsoever.
Yeah, the other thing is major financial institutions. Because the Secret Service and the FBI have very quick reaches when it comes to money. And the Federal Reserve Bank can go ahead and freeze all your accounts and say, hey, looky, you know, not that that happens that often, but, you know, it is a possibility. You know, I just have to go up to our VP who's in charge of fraud, and he calls the Secret Service and FBI, and we can have somebody on.
Shut up. You're talking too much. They're supposed to ask
blah,
us questions.
Sorry.
Blah.
Next. I invoke the rattle rule on you.
Okay.
Girl in the back.
Huh? Back there? No. He's holding the seat.
He doesn't got him. Someone over here raised their hand.
Too bad. I'm going to the girl.
Oh, I think it was the chick. Okay. Yeah, you.
Just as a side note, I did work for a retailer that had credit card numbers printed on the receipt. Once a month, we throw out the receipts. And yes.
Are they shredded?
To the bin in the
no,
back.
No, it was another company, but their solution to hiding the credit card numbers on the receipts was to throw water on the receipts and then proceed to put them in the dumpster. And they are still doing that.
Who is this?
Can you at least name the you said a retailer.
She wouldn't have a job.
It's a lingerie company.
Oh.
Before you incriminate yourself.
Yes. You get one. Come on up.
Get a beer. Before you incriminate.
Oh, yeah, there was a question in there. Go ahead and ask.
Question?
I didn't hear any question.
No, get a beer. Get a beer. Come on.
Come get a drink. And then ask the question and get another drink.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. That's a lingerie company. More important than that, for all those who weren't paying attention, this is being recorded, and it will be available publicly after the convention is over. So, you know, if you want to incriminate yourself in something, go right ahead.
Why do you think we give out all the booze so we can all say we were drunk? All right. What was your question?
I was just wondering, what is your favorite spyware program to prevent spyware on your computers? Things like Gator. And
BSD.
Don't run Windows.
Cleaning up relatives' computers.
Friends, don't let
$125
friends run Windows.
$125 an hour.
Well, let me put this
you
way.
You think I'm kidding? The only people who get free computer work from me anymore are my mom, my sister, and my roommate.
Exactly. Well, parents.
Well, let me put this way. There's
just enjoy.
They said the software requires Windows 98 or better. I tried on my Linux system. Didn't work.
I use Adaware for my girlfriend, and it seems to work fine.
Seriously, I guess Adaware is a good program.
Yeah. With Adaware, how many people go in and customize their scan?
Okay.
When you do it, want a basic scan.
Okay, wait a minute. I got an idea. Your people who've got tools that they really like besides Adaware and SpyBot, come on up here and announce them in the mic. This is useful information for the rest of the folks who are running Windows. Seriously, come on up.
Give your IP address.
Yeah.
firewall called Cygate. It's pretty good. Blocks IP and you can block IP port.
But in the microphone. For
in the microphone, because we're recording it, you ass.
People who are going to be listening will want to know what this is.
Cygate is DSN. You can block IP or by port number if you want. Runs on Windows XP or 2000. You can find it on peer-to-peer or various other places. I think it's like $120 or something.
If you absolutely have to run a Windows box, the best solution to get rid of spyware and viruses is just to throw away Internet Explorer. Totally get rid of it. Never use it again. Run Firefox.
Firefox.
All right, wait a minute. I'm not a hacker or anything, but I have a huge objection with what you just said.
Really?
I know most of the world hates Windows.
Yes.
You're not going to find very many really large businesses that aren't using it, and their employees who have to take work home need it on their freaking machines.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Well, let me put it this way.
Yeah, you do.
Open office.
I'm connected to a portal through my job, and I have to use IE for it. Yeah. Have to. It's required.
It's so many holes in it. The Department of Homeland Security.
Maybe I'm not disputing that, but I'm saying you can't randomly stand up there and say it's terrible. It's awful. Right.
Let me look at that. I bet I can get it working because you can tell Mozilla and Foxfire to lie and say, "Yeah, I'm Internet Explorer."
Yes. Done that before.
Something goes wrong. It's me and my computer, and I've got to answer to my job.
Well, okay. Here's the thing with IE. I can tell you right now that we are not moving away from IE yet. We're actually in the process of evaluating Firefox. Firefox is not there yet. The full-blown Netscape, communicator Mozilla is not what we need. We need something. Firefox is good. But,
I've got no spyware.
And it's actually a hell of a lot more efficient and faster. The problem we have is our core software utilizes IE DLLs in order to display information in HTML format. And as a result, we have to have IE there. We've finally gotten everybody in Outlook and using grouper functions in Outlook kick ass for organizations.
Oh, it does?
Okay.
Oh, I forgot
in comparison,
they were on there.
It's the easiest thing I've ever seen.
Well, I put a funny
it works. Okay. And I've yet to see even OpenExchange and all the other stuff.
Make
has so many modules you have to plug in. Evolution is works.
Questions? Oh, wait, the little one has some questions.
Little one and then guy in the halfway back.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. Johnny, recently people that have been going to corporations and pointing out problems with their software have been getting in trouble legally. What are your opinions on this or any experience with that?
My opinion is to shut the hell up unless you are being paid as a security analyst to check their systems for flaws. My experience on this is... No, this is over with. This was resolved years ago. My experience with this was up in Nashville, Tennessee years ago. Roommate of mine at the time worked for an ISP up there. They built a fiber loop around the city to keep local traffic local. And he had gone into one of the colo facilities to put some new gear online. They were doing their configuration. They turned on SNMP. They saw all this shit that was not part of their local network. They were wondering, what is this? And started poking around and realized it was Cisco routers and NetWare servers that should tell you about how long ago it was that were all had default logins and passwords on there. And anyone could telnet to these systems, get into these Cisco routers, get into the Novell NetWare servers, and pretty much down the infrastructure for the state of Tennessee and the Metro Nashville government. And, we were trying to figure out who we could tell about this, because all they need to do is change the default passwords. And we tried for a couple days to contact someone in a position of authority within the Tennessee or Nashville government, because this was our information, these systems too. It was everything from tax records to property records, stuff like that. There was vote stuff in these systems, and we wanted someone to secure this stuff. And we never could get anyone to really pay attention to us. We thought we'd discuss this at the 2600 meeting, which was rapidly approaching up in Nashville, and no one from the state showed up, but News Channel 5, CBS affiliate, did, and we were the top story on the 10 o'clock news that night. They did a very good, balanced, fair story on us. Never used the H word. They said concerned security professionals. You know, they are trying to get someone from the state to listen. They say they have easy recommendations and fixes that they're not trying to make money off, but no one's paying attention. They even interviewed, during the interview, one of the reporter asked one of the guys, well, can you tell me what these security problems are? And his answer was, no, I can't. If I give any indication to the nature of the problem, it might give someone the ability to go in there and cause trouble, and that's not what we want to have happen. We simply want the system secured because my information is in there as well as yours. Well, Monday morning, the governor for the state of Tennessee is chewing out the chief information officer for the state of Tennessee, and unfortunately, they had gotten all this information fifth or sixth hand, and you know the little game you play where one person whispers into someone's ear and you go around the circle. Yeah, well, by the time the story got to the governor and the CIO, it was evil hackers who had been hired by a subcontractor were running amok through the computer systems. So,
all right.
We weren't evil at the time, and not in that capacity, no. This was our day job. The upshot was we had the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, which is kind of like the local redneck version of the FBI, following us around. Our phones were tapped. They were running our tags. They were going through our mail, fun stuff like that. My roommate lost his job. My employer, fortunately, had no contracts with the state of Tennessee, and they said they can't tell us who to hire. Did you do anything wrong? No, sir, I did nothing wrong. We simply tried to report a problem we saw. Fuck them. They can't do anything to us, so stay out of trouble, and you still work for us. Cool. Unfortunately, the company my roommate worked for at the time hosted about 60% of the government websites for the state of Tennessee. Oops. So that's what happened. We tried to be good concerned citizens. We found out it was TBI, by the way. I used to work in a police department. I called a cop friend. A neighbor of ours had noticed this van pulled up in our front yard taking pictures of cars, the license plate going through our mailbox, and he wrote down the tag number. So I called up a cop friend and read him the tag number and said, can you tell me who this belongs to? And eventually came back to me, why are you having us run a number on a undercover surveillance van? Whoa. Oh,
deep okay. Undercover
because he's surveilling me.
Yeah, pretty much when you, I was NCIC certified, which is the FBI's National Crime Information Computer. I was no longer working for the police department at that time, so I didn't have access to the system. And when you run tags, they come back usually one of two ways. One, you get the information on the tag. It can be dated, but the information is still in there, even if the tag is no longer valid or in use. The other one is this tag does not exist, basically, is what it said. The third option, which I've only seen once, is you are not authorized to ask for this information, and your request has been noticed, and someone will be contacting you shortly about this. They usually do that for congressmen, senators, people at that level, but I guess they do it for undercover surveillance vans as well.
Wow.
Why the hell are you asking this?
Well, granted that you should leave it and not get yourself into trouble, what if it's your information that's available there? Like, there's a default login, and there's my credit card number and my social security
number. How did you know? What were you doing? Look at this system. You were hacking! Shift the blame, dude. If you see it, shut the hell up. You don't know anything about it unless you're being paid to do a security audit of that system. The laws are fucked up.
I can confirm that, personally, directly.
So just deal with the fact that someone's going to steal your credit card number.
Yeah.
You might have to.
If it isn't a computer database, it's out there somewhere.
Somebody will steal.
Check your statements regularly. When you see discrepancies, dispute them and get another card.
That's why credit cards cost 2.5% to 4% for the merchants.
Get rid of your fucking credit cards.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of questions now.
Use
you guys
for everything. Okay. Straighten the back.
Fight! We'll do the fight club method.
The tall guy is standing up. Just for the heck of it.
In the year. Why in the year?
Because the first one I saw, that's all. He looks bigger
just
than
out
me,
of curiosity,
so go
of course, since XP service
tech,
hang on. Since it came up, what good, if any, has it done? Service Pack 2.
Has what? Service Pack 2? Millions of dollars
actually,
for consultants?
Yeah.
Is it actually what they say it is?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Except for nobody who runs our particular data processing software can install Service Pack 2 yet because it breaks the entire software. Besides that point, nothing for us yet.
Microsoft needs to look like they're doing something.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it's there's about four different ways now you can remotely turn off the built-in firewall. Just look on Bug Track again. So.
Yeah, do not confuse motion for progress. Beer.
I had a situation that happened a little while ago where somebody was spoofing my email address and sending out emails, and one of the emails bounced, so of course it bounced back to me.
Yes.
It had a zip file attached to it, which was encrypted, so yes. I was curious what people were shifting around under my name.
That's a worm payload, almost certainly.
Did you run the file that was inside?
What?
Did you run the file that was inside?
No, there wasn't an executable. There was a bunch of kiddie porn inside. I ran a zip file software cracker. And
I can give you some insight on that. Before, I currently work for Google. My previous job was for one of the largest porn site web hosting facilities in North America, which you would think is any geek's dream job since I legally had root on Hustler.com. But it really turned in. It was a good job for about 6 months, and then it turned really shitty. This nameless employer got into spam in a big way, and there were other very illegal things going on, which is part of the reason I was very anxious to get out of there. As far as the spam thing goes, your email being assigned to it, there are lists of email addresses that are traded all the time, and there are automatic programs that send this crap out, and that will also insert valid or what are supposedly valid email addresses in there, so that's where the bounces go, and it was just your turn for it to come up.
The thing was, I wanted to report it, but the problem is, under the DMCA, at least as far as I understand it, running a password cracker to crack open a zip file that doesn't belong to you is illegal. I talked to my lawyer. I have a copyright lawyer. He advised me not to report it because I could be exposed to liability under the DMCA.
Isn't that great?
Actually the case?
The stuff we really want to do, we can't do because there's stupid laws that have been put in place for the people that really... I mean, we need the equivalent. The doctors have this thing called the Good Samaritan Law, where if, as long as you try well, you can't be sued for things like that. Or not doctors, but people in general, there's Good Samaritan Laws for that. There's no equivalent of a Good Samaritan Law for hackers.
So hypothetically, theoretically, if you had cracked the encryption on it, what was inside the zip? Hypothetically,
kitty
it
porn?
Was kitty
like
porn?
Small cats?
Yeah,
pussies? Kitty, right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Someone forges your email address and essentially sends you kitty porn and, yeah. I guess we have a lot of
was that worth a beer?
In the audience.
Yes. We have a bunch of furries in the audience.
Beer? Yes, no?
Beer.
That's bearable.
Beer. Come on, we got plenty of beer. Come.
Now here's one for you since you work for Google.
So far.
How does the situation now where Google just made the modification where you could scan on all of the credit cards numbers on the internet,
that's not a mod.
It's been there since day three.
Actually. But here's the question along that line is, if you're scanning, just do the standard search that was on /, you find your credit card number on the internet, how do you get that fixed? Because since you're scanning Google, you try to go
fix
to the company,
the
tell
internet?
Them they have a security problem, they're posting your credit number on the internet. How do you get that fixed without violating the DMCA or having guys in black suits come after you?
Call your Visa and say, I want a different number.
But I mean, from a security standpoint, that you don't know how long your card's been out there.
Too bad.
How do you go after the company that's allowed the security breach to allow it to get Google?
Do you check your, if you check your statement
check
every month,
statement, but
challenge,
what's the legal ramifications of going back
move along. Just move along because there's nothing else you really do.
Well,
just move along.
On a note, how many people have seen the privacy disclosure from your financial institution?
In that very, very tiny company negative.
How many people have ever opted out?
Large print giveth, and the fine print taketh away.
Anybody? How many people have not explicitly said opt out? So I had a few. Okay, everybody who's now not opted out has opted in to allow them to sell your information anywhere they want to.
Yes.
Unless you're a credit union, and that's.
I believe there was a. I can't give too many details on this. Unfortunately, I don't have them. Stored up here on my computer. If I remember this correctly, it was recently decided that a large collection of information, if a company converts that to a database, that becomes their property and they can do anything with the database they want. So if they collect your private information and say we're not going to market or anything like that, but then put it into a database that becomes their property, they can do anything they want with the database because it's their property now and it's no longer your private information. So essentially the privacy agreements are meaningless. Yes.
Isn't it also true that under those basic same situations, if you have opted out or said you're with a company that says we have deep privacy laws, you can't use any of it, if they get bought, the company that buys them now has complete rights and they can yes. do anything they want.
Yes, and it only is valid for 1 year.
This information can be used to make money, and unfortunately there are a lot of people out there in the business world who have no morals and no ethics. Again, the place I previously looked for, their justification for bringing in the large spam houses and getting the money was, oh, well, someone signed up for this somewhere. They asked for it somewhere. They hit a porn site and did a click through and didn't realize that these places trade banners, link, and information. Therefore, they were opting in, essentially. So no matter what your argument was or what you said, from the spammer's point of view, you opted in and asked for this somewhere. And they'll use any justification they can to try to say, yeah, what we're doing is, it's your fault. You wanted it somehow. You asked for this information. It's not against the law. We can do this. Blah. Yeah, that's the mindset there. They don't care, and there's very little difference between the spammers and the legitimate and businesses.
I didn't say that, did I? All right, sorry.
Question.
Yes.
I, for the past probably 2 or 3 months now, have been getting, like, all like this unsent mail stuff, like hundreds of them a day, that I haven't been sending any of the mails myself.
Wow, so you should have seen my talk a couple days ago.
Yeah, and it's really starting to get annoying. I've called my providers for my internet and everything. They haven't done anything about it. I was just wondering if there's any way I could actually track it back to the people that are doing it.
What is the exact message you're getting?
Literally, mail undeliverable.
He's getting bounces from fake firms.
Well, so let me put it this way. You're going to as a quick statistic.
They're sending, they're spoofing, it's just a government answer. Yeah. They're spoofing your email address. They're sending from you to the spam list.
No, it's not spam. It's literally, it's saying that I am sending emails to other people.
Right, but the bounce is because the spam went to somebody who wasn't there. So okay. You're getting the bounce from the
they
spam.
They have forged your email address into the from field.
They.
Filters are your friends. Yes.
Come.
You're going to have to do the filters pretty much like an opt-in type filter list saying, okay, email from my mom is allowed. Email from this person is allowed. And everything else goes into a folder. Maybe I'll search later. You can also create filters based on different headers and just try to eliminate most of that. Play with your email client. See what will allow you to do. If the filtering is bad on it, pick a different email client.
Well, basically what I did was I sat there and my email company actually allows me to use like keywords in my filters. And I basically just filtered in unsent or undeliverable mail. So I've got it automatically going straight there.
Of course, you have to be worried then that you're going to filter out the real bounce message.
I check it out.
Okay.
Every day I go through.
Yeah, you put it in a questionable folder and you check it once a week.
Just speak up.
Problem? Oh, okay.
Okay.
You got to ask another good question if you want the bottle opener.
That's a screw top.
This one is? Okay.
Related to that problem that he's having, it might be worth contacting some of those ISPs that might be bouncing messages based on the from field. Nobody should be doing that anymore because everyone spoofs it.
I've tried. We've tried.
How many people want exchange in a corporate environment? How many people want a normal exchange environment in their corporate environment? Okay.
Exchange just does it. Nothing you can do about it. Oh, and
at least if they're a valid North American ISP, they might be salvageable. Of course, if it's someone from Korea, you know, forget it. But then you can filter that.
The worst thing I see is the antivirus programs that helpfully tell you that your machine's been infected. I run OpenBSD. It does not get infected by Windows viruses. Thank you. So I get all these wonderful emails somewhere around between 200 and 300 a day that say, thank you, we've just canceled this virus from you. No, it wasn't from me. They should know better.
As a quick statistic from my institution, since November of last year, we've received 1.2 million emails.
Spammer ethics, another example here. One of our clients at my previous place of employment.
The rest of the statistic was we have blocked 575,000 of those have been spam. And that is only using 50% of the efficiency of Spam Assassin, because being a financial institution, I cannot block mortgage offers, payday advances, cash advances, credit card offers, home loan, car loan, anything like that. I can't block those keywords.
A survey from a couple of weeks ago showed that about 85-87% of the spam on the internet comes from the U.S.
Yeah.
Question.
Well, here's the problem, though. Let's give you an example of the ethics and the morals of the spammers. We did have one customer who, in fact, was using a compromised server in a Korean hospital emergency room to bounce spam through.
You've been here a couple of years.
Yeah, there's a certain level of hell reserved for these people.
Oh, yeah.
Just a quick question. I currently use software with the company I work for to connect to external partners and transmit data via HTTPS and SSL data transmission. And we're using MD5, SHA1 checksums. I was just curious how the collision stuff that I've been hearing about is going to affect as far as people spoofing like data or anything like that.
Potentially disastrous.
So, for example, right now we use SHA1 for practically everything for signing and encryption and hash checking. So, right now, how far would you say they are away from compromising SHA1 to the point where you could actually not just get a hash total that would match, but actually corrupt data to the point where it would say something that you really didn't want it to say?
Been there, done it.
I think there's another one that's md5passwordcracking.com or something along those lines. Was put up just a couple months ago, and you put out the MD5 checksum, and if it's in its database, it'll spit you out with that MD5 by
anime across the street. Close the door. Close the door. Close the door.
I'm waiting for the explosion. Wait.
Close the door. Thank you. All right. Either be in or out. Can't be halfway.
Of course, if it was, you know, hentai or tentacle porn, everyone would be turned that way.
We wouldn't even have to turn.
Hey, it's Dragon Con. Come on, it's expected.
Yes.
Anyway, question.
Yeah, well, basically, I heard that the laws pretty much suck when it comes to
you get a beer for that.
Handling the situations. What's being done right now to improve the laws?
Shut up.
What's being done right now to improve the laws, and what can we do to help?
It's all about convincing your Congress critters that there's something needs to be changed, and that's kind of tough because we're right now in a situation, especially thanks to the Patriot Act and everything that happened as a result of 9/11. We're in a situation where we're opening beers right up front for people. So we're in a situation where hackers are being viewed as bad guys. Data collection, data process. I'm just distracted. I'm just going to talk. All right. Anyway, no, it's bad. It's bad out there. It's
See, you can still get exactly what you've asked for and not be happy.
Yes.
As far as what, speaking of bombs, my personal opinion as far as what we can do to change the situation up in Washington, D.C., two words, neutron bomb. No. What you do is you go out in the hallway and say, has anyone got a bottle opener? And hand it to them.
Yeah. Security people. Security people carry bottle openers out there. You should go try that out.
Ask for Hug Me.
Yes.
That's a
it's
little
working.
Extra special love there.
I
believe there's an actual police officer out in the
hallway. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Invite him on in.
Good.
Ask him if he wants a beer. No, I'm serious. You want the cops on your side.
This is a private event.
Dude.
Next question. Question. Who's got the mic? Who's got the mic? Where's that? Oh, the guy with the mic has the mic. All right, but there goes the next guy.
Hi.
I hope that helps somewhat. If not, enjoy the beer.
This is kind of off the wall. Palm recently discontinued their Palm.net wireless service. For anyone who still has an i705 or any other Palm device that's specifically designed to work on their network, is anyone aware of any novel or interesting applications that these devices can be used for now?
I never got into the Palm world. I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
I play with it in Office Max or Office Depot.
My palms are used for other things.
It can be used for porn. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, get a beer. Get a beer. Come here. Come here. Get a beer. Your second one or your third one today, or whatever it is.
Today? This hour, right?
This hour. Today. All good. Next question.
Is there any way to alternate your IP address? So, So nobody can like track you or anything like that?
You have to be routable back to your box.
No.
Restart your connection.
Sometimes that works, but you have to be routable back to your box. So
your ISP holds logs. Your ISP holds logs of who you are when you connect.
Right.
And every DHCP connection is logged somewhere that says, okay, you know, you suck, logged in. I'm just reading your shirt there. You suck, logged in at 1859 at, on, you know, 9/5/2004. And his IP address was, you know, 6732-6392.
You're online. You are sending information out. It's assumed you want to receive information in return. Therefore, the places you're sending information to need to know where to send it back. Now, there are ways to obscure this and make it a bit more difficult.
Right. I can't suggest legally that you look into changing your MAC address every time you connect. I can't suggest that. Legally.
Yeah, Solaris does that, BSD does that, the Linux do that finally. I knew the I know
OS
the earlier
10 just
did.
Added it. Yeah, OS okay. 10 just added it, yes.
But that can still be learned. That can be learned by the ISP still.
It just makes it a lot harder to correlations. Why do I know anything about that? I don't know anything about that.
One way to do that is walk down the street until you find a nice friendly place with an internet connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Of course.
It's always fun.
Back in the corner.
Clueless neighbors.
And then
yeah.
For those of you who live in an apartment complex.
Where?
Fuck guy in the back.
Anywhere.
That guy.
Just go. Just pick somebody.
Whoever wants it most, yeah, like I said, fight. I haven't seen a really good fist fight yet. Break out the chainsaws. Let's have a
duel. I'm just curious. Does anybody know the story of the broken window on the next to the pool deck?
Why yeah, what happened with that?
I have no idea, but there's two sheets of plywood over there.
Got a question back
what
there?
Happened?
Essentially, an armoire was burned off of a balcony.
A what?
Armoire was tossed
off of
a balcony.
Those darn armoires.
Were they aiming for the swimming pool?
No, but it just kind of happened. It was like, I don't know. Like,
no. These things don't just kind of happen. They tend to stay in one place.
Guns don't kill people. Armoires kill people.
How much was left in the bottle after the cap came off and the explosion subsided?
Too bad, thank God. So essentially, that's also why you notice your signs around right now. No throwing stuff off balconies. Should be common sense, but it's really not.
No.
Well, what if you voluntarily leap?
We have a question in the back somewhere. Somewhere question.
Yeah, for cable modem systems, BPI Plus, is there a list of known list out there that for like say Atlanta ISPs or so that actually have it enabled or disabled?
Have what enabled?
BPI Plus or just regular BPI, baseline privacy for cable modem systems?
What?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Did you say...
if we had an internet connection down here, we'd ask Google.
Do you say VPI?
Yeah, baseline privacy.
VB.
Never heard of it.
I've seen the check mark.
I know Charter doesn't use it. I know that, I know Comcast does. I know there's a couple others, but.
Grab a beer, go find out, and report back to us.
Please. You have homework.
All
right, he's got the mic. Go.
Right.
Go.
Got some phone spam question. Our fax machine has become the victim of fax.com. Is there anything, I'm told here in Georgia, that you can take, go to small claims court and get like $500 a file?
Actually, on an update to that, there was an update in the appeals court that negated that law, and it is now federally no longer enforceable, but that's still up for review against the appeals court decision. I don't exactly, it was bundled in a big lawsuit against something else. And there's some fluxes between legal and illegal practices of fax spamming. But in
doesn't the FCC law, the telemarketing spam law, or telemarketing law says if you're paying for the reception of that call, it's illegal? Because if you got a fax, you're paying for consumables that you on a call you didn't make, so it wouldn't make that.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Hey, yeah, no one's ever going to break the law, and of course the cops are always going to help enforce the laws, right?
Yeah.
And right now, it is $500 per hour.
I gotta modify that last statement a bit. I used to work in a police department. And a lot of cops are really good people, and they get paid shitty wages to work bad hours, and they get shot at occasionally as part of their job description. Most cops deserve an enormous raise and a lot of respect because they do have to work with the dregs of society on a daily basis. I think they should get longer vacations and more frequent vacations because that's kind of psychic residue rubs off on their dealings with decent people. But of course, it's the assholes who are the minority who give the rest of them bad names. So I'm done
having
with my little
sermon.
Having
said that,
it's like lawyers, 97% of the profession give the rest a bad name.
Yeah, I agree.
Question. Who's got the mic? Question.
Yeah, the mic.
Mike.
You get yet another one.
Is this my beard?
Okay. Next question. Oh, yeah. This one first. Here, right there. What? Go.
Last year, y'all were talking a lot about Freenet.
Freenet.
That would be me.
Freenet.
Yeah.
Who was you?
I've tried it. I was less than impressed based on speed and the lack of stuff that was readily available. Do you still think the Freenet's going somewhere? And
quick question: which version number were you using?
I honestly don't remember anymore because I gave up on it about six months ago.
Well, let me put it this way: 6 months ago, it sucked. And the problem with having massive projects like Freenet is you have tons of people who all think their way of coding this is the right way. For anybody who doesn't know what Freenet is, it's a anonymous distributed secured information sharing using Rinnell AES-128 bit encryption back and forth between nodes. And it's basically a server based where you connect to your node and your node learns about all the other nodes on the network, or not all the nodes, but partial nodes, but all those other partial nodes. It's a big, huge mesh network. I believe Freenet still has places to go. The last version I used was 5091. Then they... actually, what was it? 5084 was a great build number for their current model. Then they did something and wholly broke everything, because Java is horrible in cryptography in certain aspects, but it's great for cross-platform environments. So a lot of it was kludgy hacking of the Java code and writing your own functions to do cryptography inside of Java's cryptography. I do believe Freenet still has availability, and it is getting better. And if anybody uses Freenet at freenetproject.org, it's not just web-based. There's a whole lot of other forms. There's basically Usenet newsgroups equivalent on there that you can do work with. There's a near instant message chat you can do with it. Granted, it's delayed by hours, but...
Follow-up's
always great.
Real quick follow-up. Would everybody without the microphone please shut the hell up? What? Just on general principle.
Next.
Yeah, just a quick one on the fax thing, getting junk faxes like crazy. One really quick, easy way to remedy that. Once they've sent you a fax they're doing business with you, you can respond all you want. Two sheets of construction paper, a little bit of masking tape. Make sure it's black construction paper. Send it back. Works very well.
You will suck up an entire toner in about 10 minutes.
No, right. the cool thing is if they're using one of the old style thermal printers, there have been cases where those things have actually caught on fire.
I think the lady had a question. Nice lady. I am so. Okay, there are so many to pick from, but what do you think is the worst flaw of the Diebold electronic voting machine used here in Georgia?
That it exists.
by an unconfirmed, unofficial reporting from somebody who I had to work with recently, how secure do you think those voting machines are?
Not at all.
They are in a room that is secured and kept in a secured room.
All right, you've talked too much, and it's time for you to shut up, and you pour some water for now, because I've got an answer for that.
Who was the famous Russian guy who said it doesn't matter how the votes are cast, what matters is how they're counted? The tabulator. The problem with the master tabulator, which counts the votes that come in from the units in the different prefixes, and this is where they put the paper votes. If you're voting, what's where I'm looking for here? The alcohol is kicking
absentee.
In. Absentee. Thank you very much. Apparently, there's a backdoor in that. It's a two-digit sequence that you put in that pulls up another set of books that can have no relation at all to the votes that are in the main database, and you can make the other one the legal set of votes. So it doesn't matter how secure the remote systems are if the main tabulator itself is not secured, and you can use this backdoor that was deliberately built into it, and people have known about it for over a year now. And I don't know why the mainstream press isn't going nuts. I don't know why the radical activist press isn't going nuts. I don't know why the Democrats aren't going nuts. I don't know why the moderate Republicans who want honest elections aren't going nuts. But this stuff is it's here, and all you got to do, two-digit key sequence, and you can throw the entire vote.
You know, it seems to me it's very
election, pardon me.
It's very odd that anybody could make a cogent argument for not having a paper trail on an election. I can't imagine how these people are getting up in front of the rest of their legislative bodies and saying, no, we don't need a paper trail.
You don't have to be cogent to argue against
the DMCA and the Patriot Act are proof that they're not cogent. You're right.
Wait
all right.
A minute. 4 years ago in Florida we had a paper trail.
Yeah.
It just wasn't counted.
Hanging, swinging Chad. Yeah.
It was counted five different times.
It was the Chad.
Five different people with five different answers.
Yes.
How hard is it to use a hole punch,
Chad.
People? I mean, come on.
Secret chat. In Florida, apparently extremely difficult.
They probably had English-only instructions on that.
Yeah. All right, so we have questions still. Question with Mike. Mike's right there. Let's go here first, and we'll get over the wall here.
About what?
Go.
I understand
go.
That Randall uses free BSD, but what are your preferences of Linux distro for residential use?
Did you say you understand I use free BSD? I use open BSD. Oh, big open difference. BSD. I like sleeping at night. Okay. Yeah.
For Linux, personally, anybody who's seen not seen SUSE 9.1, go ahead and download it. It's great. I love it. And I'm actually trying to push that into my corporate environment, actually, but that's another story. Besides that, if you have an embedded NetTIO thin client by any chance, in case anybody runs across that, you can only install Slackware from about three versions ago. Because most installs don't do low memory installs that well.
Well, what do you want to do with the system? Do you want to just like get it up and go and that's it, or do you want to like continue to tweak it endlessly and play around and make install, compile? What do you want to do?
Fairly ease of use.
Red Hat, Nopix.
Red Hat.
Are you just starting out, or do you currently have a Linux system you're looking at upgrading?
I've dabbled with Linux for 6-7 years, but I don't like logging into it daily.
Go ahead and get a Nopix install. It's a great thing. Off the CD, just pop in the CD, put boot up your computer.
I vote we just go ahead and prop the doors open and we turn the PA up more.
Pound them,
and we also need to send a scouting expedition out to obtain us more water. We should steal it from other rooms.
Yeah, there's a big pot right outside.
So
if you want water, come on up. I'll pour it for you.
I wonder if anybody wonders what Linus actually runs in his machine. That'd be kind of cool. Linus is now a Portland resident, just down the street from where I am. He runs a PowerPC.
No, they run until 3 a.m.
Wearing it now.
Papa John's.
He runs Minix.
Yeah.
Minix. He runs Minix. Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
Colleges.
Sure.
I deserve a glass of water.
All right. Yes. Yeah, there we go. Throw some water at her. Throw some water at him. We've got another. Where's the mic? Where's the mic at?
Not talking very much anyway.
Okay.
So.
No problem. Thank you, sir.
How many beers do you have to give me? I get free beers up here, so a shot of scotch is only for the asking. Should I actually crack this open and start having it disappear before I go home?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Who has four?
Oh,
he has four beers.
If you have a question, just start shouting it out at us.
No,
with the mic closed.
Oh!
You know, if I open this, I'm not being able to take it home.
It's going to be like gone before I go home.
Just shout.
Real quick, I was just wondering. You know, everybody knows that as far as an Xbox Live, once you actually mod your Xbox at all, you can't get onto it. I just wonder if there's any way to actually route it or trick their computers that you actually can get on there. There's a way to. You have someone that can
turn hands on that. I'm not a console gamer, you sorry. You can mod a store. I play within the stores.
That kind of dumping you guys, or?
There's a tub that you can make that will turn on and off.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, excuse me.
She had modded Linux on a bunch of like five Xboxes to make
it. We've got some questions in the back there.
Guy in camera, move out of the way.
Hey, I heard BSD mentioned, so I'm curious as to what your opinion is of the Mac OS X version of BSD.
Okay, that deserves a shot of scotch.
Clear the doorway, please.
Move.
Our own guys. Like that.
Did someone just take a dump?
Yes.
No. Why?
Why? It smells like it.
Why are you missing one?
Move. One side. One side. Clear the door.
Clear the door.
I don't remember that part.
You guys are bastards.
Yes.
Hey, is that by the DMCA? All
right. It's not encrypted.
I'll get in trouble. Next question. Who's the mic? Who's the mic? Quickly. Please.
Hey, what's BSD just got mentioned a moment ago. What's your opinion of the Mac OS X version of BSD?
Version?
It's pretty.
Yeah. there's lots of lights.
It's very pretty.
And things.
Takes some tweaking, some hacking, some modding, some playing with it. But yeah, it's nice.
I like it. Works well on my Mac.
I will state this now as the assistant director of the room. Don't do this. Don't take those. Christ, we got yelled at for that.
We'll put them back when we're done. How much are we paying the Hyatt? Come on. They won't turn on the frickin' air conditioner. How much are we paying the Hyatt?
Yeah.
We have more water up here.
All right, who's next question's over here?
Yeah, please.
Let's just keep doing these own questions.
Go, next question.
I'm doing some network monitoring at the office running NTOP and Nagios.
You've got this document that you're supposed to be doing this, right?
Yeah. Yes, I
got permission from the vice president.
If it has a keyboard and power supply, they end up asking me questions about it. Okay. So I'm the IT guy. The one problem I'm having is finding anything other than a 10-year-old Linksys hub to actually mirror the data coming in the T1. Is there something cheaper than a full-blown managed switch that I can mirror the data coming off the T1.
For what we do is we have a web content filter, and everything else we do is we went out and we have a very low-tech 10 meg hub sitting right next to T1. That's all. If you don't want to pay for the full managed where you can do port mirroring, that's about the only option. And as a hint, find a fully dumb hub, because a lot of 10-100 hubs are actually smart. They actually do switch inside.
Yeah, I've had that same problem. The 100 megabit hubs are too smart.
We actually got a Netgear 10100 hub. Actually, is a real hub. So if a Netgear 10100 hub is a real hub, not a switch.
Yeah. That was a beer. That's almost a beer.
Yeah,
beer.
I don't want to take all this shit back up to the room
exactly.
With me.
Part of it was trying to get rid of it first before it gets warm. Next.
Look, as much trouble as we had getting the beer into this room, you people are going to drink it.
Just say that louder now the door's open. Yes.
It's not a question at all. This is just a comment. For those of you who have been here in years past, James Dean, who unfortunately cannot be with us this year because he got a new job and he is in Houston, sends his hello and says he wishes he was here and he wishes that there was some way that the EFF group had found a way to get him here remotely.
Wow.
What's his cell phone number? We'll all give him a call.
You can do that.
What's his cell phone number?
I'd like to sell.
I don't want to give it out loudly.
Can we? Come on.
Put it into the screen.
Dial it, put it on the table, or we'll put the mic on it.
All right.
Okay.
The only problem is we won't be able to hear very much.
Yeah.
Put the mic in for alternate next to the mic.
We can try.
Let's fax him.
Yeah, we could just sort of.
I can just call him and everybody can say, hey, James, we miss you.
We can do that.
Next.
Yeah. On another question, we had a couple questions next, in the back here. On that side.
Yeah. And then over here.
But people who haven't asked questions yet, ask questions.
All right. I know there's been a lot of talk about on like screensavers. You saw like Kevin Mitnick, he was doing some caller ID stuff. There's been a lot of talk about caller ID spoofing, stuff like that lately. He did a call with his cell phone, and there's been a bunch of stuff with like Vonage and things like that, call Vonage services that people were able to spoof. I know there's some hacks out there for the Nokia. I know that there's, using PBXs and stuff like that at home. Do you guys know? I would be interested to know if you guys know exactly how Mitnick actually did that one on the screensavers, or if you guys know of other methods other than that that people are doing it with.
I didn't see the episode of the screensavers that you're talking about, but I know one of the easiest way to do it is simply via call forwarding. That's one way.
We got you. Is there another question in the back?
Somewhere? Get back on the far left. We'll hit you next. Yeah.
Okay, so I recently had a problem. My girlfriend has a laptop, and me being computer geeky, it was my job to lock it down. I made the mistake of not making sure she renewed her virus subscription when she got back on her college network, and she got nailed pretty hard. The IT people at her college took away her computer for a while. They've done several things. They made her upgrade to XP Pro from home. They uninstalled her Norton antivirus and instead installed Symantec antivirus,
which is the same thing.
I found they've also locked it so she can't update the virus definitions, and it automatically runs a scan every day, and they've locked that so I can't change it either. I don't know much about XP Home or Pro, so I'm wondering how smart you think they were. As best I can tell, they didn't entirely clean the computer. When I ran the antivirus, they put it back on there. I kept coming up with more and more viruses, so I had to go through and clean those up one day. And they've also told her some kind of lie along the lines that they created a separate login, one that has all of her old files and a new one that is just a new login for her on this box. And they told her that if she logs off, that she won't get further infected with viruses.
As a quick thing, did she own the laptop or did the university?
She owns it, but I had her track down a copy of the agreement she signed when she first started living on campus. She's basically signed over the right for them to do this to her.
Backup data, reformat, reinstall.
Can you do a roll back on it? Is there in Windows XP, there's a function called System Recovery and Rollback. Or did they do enough changes, or did they disable that? Yeah, it's called System Restore. If you go to Properties on... That might be a problem with the Home to Pro upgrade. It probably won't work then.
No, but what he can do is you can go back by date. Find the date that they put the systematic on there, and you could do a step back
to the date
24 hours before that.
Right when they actually did the XP Pro upgrade,
And that will get rid of the systematic, and then you can just reinstall what you want on it.
If I do this, is there any way they may not know that I've done this?
Yes.
Yeah.
They don't know that I've done this? They may not
know that. Well, let me put this way. I would review very carefully what that agreement says and see how legally binding that is for your personal property, and it depends on what exactly they can do to her as well. So I'd review it very carefully before you start doing that.
Yeah.
The corporate edition is wonderful. It is wonderful for remote management, and you can lock it down, not admin-wise, but it is locked down by remote policy by the central server. That's what we do at work to make it so that people can't just go and disable it, unless you're people like me. Now, what you can do is there should be ways in Symantec, do a Google search of how to disable it.
Rattle roll, next question, use Google.
When are we taking up the pizza collection?
Midnight.
Is that worth a beer?
Yeah, sure.
I have no connection.
Okay, you were next.
Verizon. Verizon sucks here. So there's one
that
works really well.
About a year ago, there was a big fuss over the end-user license agreement that comes with software. And there was some question about whether or not you could get in trouble if you used your software for something other than was listed under the EULA. Have you guys heard anything about that? Has anybody tried to enforce that? Or
end-user license agreements, shrink-wrap licensing agreements? If you're a corporate entity, you probably kind of want to pay attention to that stuff. If you're an individual, and I am not a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV, who cares? I haven't really heard of any cases like that, and I'll let that stop me.
On a quick thing, if you don't have any bars, I am rotating between 0 and 2 right now, if you need more stuff.
Yeah, mine's going on, too.
Which provider do you have that works down here? Oh.
Well,
of course, by the way, it probably has something to do with my phone doing this, and you know, and, the battery's case is cracked, and so is everything inside. So, by the way, if anybody wants a super indestructible phone, the Nokia 5190s, you can plow.
Are you giving it away?
No.
You said it's indestructible.
Nearly,
let me see it.
Nearly. That's why it's doing this.
I'm it prod.
Until I have a new one, I'm working on getting a new one. Then I'll give it to you.
Yeah, nearly indestructible.
Well, I can.
That's say like saying nearly virgin.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Next question.
Hey, when dealing with administration, there's always a tremendous amount of inertia.
Wait. I'm sorry. I heard another. What do you get for stripping? Yeah. We'll pour water on you and stuff, and we'll take pictures.
Anything?
I don't want any pictures like yours.
Question was
we'll
make sure they don't take.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take over the room for a minute. Everybody,
no, you're
say
not.
Hello to James Dean.
Hello.
We want you to know that we miss you here, Desmond. The panel is not quite the same. Didn't James Dean
die in a car crash?
Different James. Different James.
James says he misses you and he's watching the 13th floor in our honor.
Yeah.
All right, your question.
When dealing with administration and a lot of your less technically inclined higher-ups, there's a tremendous amount of inertia in dealing with any form of security situation until it hits the boil-over point. One of the most effective tools that I've found is the horror story, such as, you know, a professor from Virginia Tech that I'm familiar with that had a large amount of his equipment ganked by feds because it was used in an incident. However, I think I've abused that one a whole lot, and they're starting to get inured to it. It doesn't work quite as well. Are there any, you know, other good anecdotes or things you can smack administration over the head with?
I've got the perfect tool here for you. I'm assuming you're a Unix system administrator, right? Grep their email and save files of incriminating evidence and threaten them. Basically.
See, but that goes back to earlier where you were saying if you see something, don't do anything about it because it can get you in trouble. What I want is stories where other people have already done stuff. So, you know, I can't.
Extortion doesn't usually get you in trouble because your victims are afraid
True.
To talk.
Okay.
The bastard operator from hell, are you familiar with the boff? Yes. Live the boff, be the boff. You have the power. I'm not kidding. Remember, I'm not a lawyer. I'm intoxicated. Do not take my advice. No sane person, no reasonable person should listen to anything I have to say. I am a liar and a complete idiot and a moron. There you go.
I have quick questions. First, can we close the door so that we don't have to listen to the anime anymore?
I think we should be louder than the anime.
Shout louder.
I think we should make the anime people close their door. We've sweated enough.
We have lasers and cattle prods.
And secondly, is there a appropriate place such as a trash can to dispose of empty bottles?
Yeah. Wait, outside. Empty bottles. We should conduct horizontal kinetic energy experiments unless they close their door.
As the peanut gallery as the peanut gallery so eloquently said, it's not the anime room. It's the live action room that's showing short films that are musicals about pigs.
Let's they're just asking to have their asses kicked.
Then this is not a cattle prod, it's a pig prod then.
It's a Klingon sex toy.
No, I've been here all weekend.
Stay crunchy in milk.
Oh, the panel.
I'll probably figure it out Tuesday or Wednesday.
All right. Next question.
After we've had time to
questions.
You gotta have it.
Dr. James. Mr. X would like to talk to you.
Whose phone is this that we're running the bill up on? Cool. Can we pass the phone around later? Hey, James. We'll let everybody say hi to you. How are you doing, James?
Would you like us to give you free nights and
weekends? Internet access in here,
we miss you, James.
Even if you can't make it out, what we can do is do
the Hacking 201 panel misses your throbbing manhood.
Yeah, I missed that one entirely. I'm taking a phone call. Be quiet.
We're talking to him.
James. The cyborg just had an interesting comment for James.
That won't be repeated.
But we have it recorded.
That's fine.
All right, what was the comment to James? We had a comment for you. What was it?
The Hacking 201 panel misses his throbbing manhood.
Yes, we miss your throbbing manhood.
But that's not my question.
Talking about your brain. Your second favorite organ. All right, I'm going to pass the phone. Here, someone say hi to James.
Hi, James.
Take it out of my hand, damn it. Yeah, go ahead and just pass the phone around. We'll give you a couple of bucks and just let random people talk to James. Okay. This is James Dean.
He said he's enjoying
No, really, it is.
Anyway.
Yes, James likes enjoying being passed around among strangers.
It's kind of like the Mojave phone booth, only different.
All right, next question.
Okay, Microsoft recently patented using the tab key to switch between hot links and an HTML page.
Reformat and install BSD.
Oh, yeah. My question is, I mean, this is just the latest example of this sort of behavior out of the Patent and Trade Office. I'm wondering if the panelists have any predictions as to when the entire patent situation is going to the Patent Trade Office will be completely void.
Not soon enough.
Has anybody,
not soon enough.
Does anybody have a patent on the patent process yet?
I believe Microsoft
has
one.
My God, we'll all be rich.
Can't do it, prior art. Amazon does. Sorry.
The patent office patented that years ago.
Yeah, but the patent should have expired then.
It's not public domain.
Did they renew the patent? Curses, foiled again.
How about patent via electronic methods?
All right, next question. Yeah, blue hair guy.
I have a question for James Dean.
Where is James Dean?
We've got a question for James Dean.
Go for it.
Is that your real name?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Who has a question for James? He wants to know.
We already know the answer. Next question.
Wait a minute, that should be the poll 45.
Yeah. Look up. I think we have a winner here, people.
I can't drink it until I can open it.
Someone go ahead and open that for us.
Go! do jumping jacks. Next question.
Ask more questions.
What? What? Yeah, sure. Come on up and have a beer.
You said that was only going to work. You said we couldn't do that anymore.
I'm a goddamn lawyer.
No, we're geeks. We start counting at zero.
And a goddamn liar.
Next question. We have questions out here. What do we do?
Damn, it got quiet all of a sudden. Next question.
Sound check.
Not yet.
What? Next question. Someone ask a question.
Camo guy and these two people.
If you need a new husband, let me know. Could you describe your husband? Viagra.
Hey, is it true that Google archives all of the perverted and/or illegal queries sent to it?
Non-disclosure agreement.
That means yes.
Well, how about this?
You can ask any questions you want about Google, and I signed a stack of NDAs this high, so I may answer your question, or I may say non-disclosure agreement.
If I want to work for Google, what languages should I know?
Yes.
Are you talking human or machine?
Python, C, what?
Yes. Python, C, Java.
Pearl?
Pearl never hurts. Let's see. In order of priority, well, I can't give you an order of priority. In no order whatsoever, I would say probably Java, Python, C, Pearl.
Binaries for all the
Next question.
Okay. On a more of a hardware rather than a software hacking question, I am planning to try to build a prototype of a Bluetooth-enabled sex toy. What is the easiest way to go about doing Bluetooth hardware hacking?
This sounds right up my alley here as a pornographer.
Hang on, I'm going to rearrange my stuff here.
By the by, where did the remote go?
The remote is sitting up there by the projector. I got it. So your Bluetooth-enabled sex toy. What was the question? I kind of blanked out at that point.
Are there any Bluetooth hardware developer kits or anything like that available that you would recommend?
Probably, I guess. I don't know. I've never worked with Bluetooth. Recommend second one on the left.
If you go to your local Singular store and sign a 12-month agreement with a fake name, you get a developer kit. It's called a cell phone.
All right, next question.
I just had a crazy thought of all those webcam people using those and say, hey, push me now.
Oh, I wasn't really.
I'm waiting for the I don't like this mic. I need more cable length on it.
Lorraine, ask your question.
He speaks well of you. Need more length, huh?
Harking back to last
I
year.
I was waiting for that.
Randall Schwartz?
Okay, we need
your is he now gone for good?
He said he'd be back in a
moment. Where'd
he
go?
He said that last year and didn't show up again until this year, so I'm just wondering if we're going to wait and not see him again until next year.
We have his
scotch.
He's not going anywhere.
Good. He has not opened it yet.
He met a chick.
Holy hell.
And he left this, so he'll probably be back. We should hide it.
No, we should drink it.
Yeah, that's right. What does Randall have to do for us to get this back?
Holy hell.
Yes.
Get the grand piano.
Let's ask Gandalf back there. He's a wise chap. Want a beer? We're answering questions. Come on in, dude. I mean, you're hanging out in the doorway there. We're friendly. We don't bite much.
Hard.
Yeah, I'll figure out let someone else say that.
Come on.
What?
He's not that drunk yet.
No.
Hello.
Google Johnny X and Dagmar.
I hate you. He was drunk. His girlfriend dared him to do it. I was a bit buzzed. We're not gay.
So you said. We don't protest too much.
If we
question.
Can find a PBX box that we could dial into and take over one of those old ones and get on the intercom for some store somewhere, that would be cool.
That could be fun with a little bit more inspiration here. But,
airports are a lot more fun than stores.
Left my handset and all that stuff at home.
I just...
All right, so we're asking a lot of, like, you know, how do I do this? You know, I've encountered this situation in my job, and I don't like being a freebie consultant. So let's ask some other type questions.
Just
hardware hacking's fun. Social engineering, we haven't really gotten into that a whole lot. Go ahead. Although, yeah, this panel right here is a prime example of social engineering. We don't have... We, up here, didn't have to pay to come to DragonCon. We haven't had to pay for years to come to DragonCon. We get you to buy our booze, which we then sometimes even sell back to you. Okay, question.
Troy, hit it.
Do you have any opinion, yay or nay, on security as far as Vonage and other voice over IP systems? I just switched my home phone over to Vonage.
Go to Freaknik 8 up in Nashville, Tennessee, which will be the weekend before Halloween. An old roommate of mine who is a wireless god, he has 6 basic patents on the technology, and he was on the Evil Geniuses for a Better Tomorrow panel yesterday. We'll be exposing all sorts of interesting, not yet released security flaws with voice over IP, including specifically Vonage.
Including specifically that none of it's encrypted.
It's wide open.
Did you ever find the piano?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh my. Who doesn't know the piano story? This will take me about. All right. I'm gonna give you the piano story real quick, and then we're gonna break for about 20-25 minutes or so, and we're gonna take up a collection and order a buttload of pizzas to be delivered here. So here's the piano story. The first year we did this in force. They had a player piano, nice piano, it was a player piano, sitting out in the lobby upstairs. And it was playing really cheesy elevator Muzak type stuff. And we were thinking, that should be playing the Star Wars Cantina song. So we went up and we looked at the panel, piano after a panel. And we said, okay, huh, there's this little box attached to the bottom here, little electronic device, it's got a floppy drive on it. Get the make and model number off this. Let's do a little bit of research. So what we found was that the file format was basically MIDI with a custom header, slightly modified header on it. It's a DOS floppy. What is that? Turn it off.
That's anime.
Oh.
Yeah. Not loud enough.
I think they got time for
sure. Oh, that's the other side. Okay, well, turn me up then. So, is there, okay,
can we wedge their door shut?
Can we shut the door for a minute? Yeah. I mean, we're an armed and dangerous drunk mob here. We should be able to make a bunch of anime people shut the hell up. All right, so anyway, we got the information off the piano. We found out, you know, MIDI files, modified headers, yeah, standard DOS floppy. So we came back the next year, and we had a floppy disk that had our MIDIs on it, and we kind of, you know, we didn't want to destroy anything or break anything, of course. That's not the way. If you break or destroy people's shit, you're not a hacker. You're a thug, you're a vandal, you're a criminal, and you deserve to get your ass kicked. We learned, we explored, we figured out how it works. So we brought floppies, and we pulled the other floppy out, and we taped it to the bottom of the unit, sticking out a bit so they would see that it was still there. We put our floppy in, and we started up, and we had, you know, dun 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 dun, and people like, hey, yeah, it's all right. I think Phantom of the Opera was on there. I forget what else was on there. And so we split. We came back a little bit later, and it was playing that cheesy elevator music again. And our floppy was gone. Well, okay, we got more tape. We got more floppies for just this reason. So we popped the floppy in. So we... go off, do whatever, another panel, lunch, blah, blah, blah. Check back a little bit later. There's no music, and they've unplugged the piano. Oh, there's the outlet, and yeah, paracord, boom, and we have another floppy. And next time we checked on it later, they had taken our floppy, they had unplugged the piano, and they had bolted a metal plate over the outlet. So we pulled out our Leatherman, and we plugged the piano back in, and we threw the fourth floppy disk in. And so we came back a little bit later. The piano was gone. Fucking bastards.
You can't take away the media, man.
Someone found the piano actually, was it later that day or was it the next day? It was down the hall, like when you get into the habit trail tunnels, there's a set of double doors there, and someone was walking by. They had the gap there, and they were like, double take, blah, 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 and peeked in the door. And so we came back, and we confirmed, you know, credit card, blah, 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 open up. There's the piano. There's no way. There's no fucking way we can get it in the lobby before they catch us and kick us out. Now, the piano disappeared for a couple years after that. We didn't see it. They apparently they removed it specifically for Dragon Con. No, no, no. Do you all know where the piano is now? The bastards are taunting us. This is a challenge. The gauntlet has been thrown down. It is on that little whatever. Yeah, above the exit. They put the piano up there, and it's playing the crap music again, and it's got the same device on it. This is a challenge. I mean, we got...
Which exit?
I can do it. Give me this, and I'll get up there.
And the front or by the pool area? I mean, which?
No, by the front entrance. When you walk out the front, look up, and it's sitting above the door.
Oh.
If you got the who had the software for the thing?
Some, I was did that research, you? And there's a... There's a girl that was here a couple of years, the past 2 years.
The question is, can we produce another floppy?
Yes.
Now, the question is, yeah, tomorrow's well, I guess technically today's the last day of the con, so, you know, if you're kind of in the process of checking out.
Does anybody have, like, grappling hooks or something like that?
After the con? Yeah, after we're gone.
Who's leaving tomorrow? We're going to be here Tuesday, Wednesday.
Do you have a minute?
Hmm.
About it.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna check on this. I mean, yeah, they've upped the ante. This is a deliberate taunt, and the challenge cannot go without a response. Yes,
it would be much better if it started playing Cantina music after they thought all of us were gone.
Yeah, and you see, here's the thing that pisses me off. This goes back to copyright bullshit. And we even okay, you took the piano away. That's no fun. What do we gotta do to do this legitimately? Do we need to buy copies of sheet music and come in here and show? Yeah, we got blah blah blah. Apparently it's a deal with a third-party company, and they don't, copyrights, royalties, blah, blah, bullshit, they won't do it. So maybe we should bring our own piano 1 year.
There are other places we could put the Cantina song. I mean, we could put it on the hold music, the lounge music.
The elevator.
Elevators, yes, of course. How did I miss that?
So this is your assignment before Dragon Con 2005. So yeah, if we get it in the piano itself tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, that would be fun. But
places, can we get the Cantina music? And it's got to be documented by somebody on EFS staff.
Could we add some Kraftwerk?
You have some reconnaissance for us?
Kraftwerk is cool for me.
I have a question.
Oh wait, hang on.
Turn it the other way.
Do you remember the old Progman for Windows 3.1?
Yeah.
You know it's built into XP?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how hard would it be to pull a little trick on one of your little college buddies and have a Windows XP box and boot up into Windows 3.1?
Yeah.
Or what looks like Windows 3.1.
No, if you want to play a trick on them, throw a Nopix CD in their computer and reboot it.
Been there, done that.
It also works very well at Best Buy.
Yeah. Changing their shell to be the Windows 3.1.1 thing is fun. The one I like best is shell equals clock.exe reboot. All right, it's midnight now. Traditionally what we do is those of you who have endured us for a couple hours are free to flee now if you wish. We're going to keep on hanging out here, and we're going to order a buttload of pizzas, but we need money to do that, and we need your money to do pizzas. So come on up if you want pizzas and slam down some cash and grab some beer.
Where's the stun gun?
Yeah, come up and collect, motherfucker.
That would be ASCAP, not Rio.
Do you want to get stunned? Yes, I'll give you 10 bucks anyway.
You were more sober than I. You were collecting money for the pizza.
Thank you.
Do you remember last year?
Here, let me get like 10 bucks.
Do you, the question is, do you want to get stunned?
Yes. Do you remember last year?
Vaguely.
I was the guy that got stung 15 times.
I made a lot of money.
Thank you.
No, actually, probably around $15.
Hey, I remember you. You're the one that fell asleep.
Yes, you got me on the arm.
Oh, that is it.
Oh, where with the ball?
All right.
Okay.
Leg, ass, upper arm. Ready, one.
Leg, fine.
All right. No. You ready?
All right. Yeah.
Do you
want to
fall asleep? That's not.
You want to change? I'm not handling the pizza. Just the mic.
Barely has any.
Right there.
All right.
All right,
now. All right,
because
I get the other leg.
We're
okay. You ready?
Hold up.
Oh.
Hello, what's up?
No. All right, now. No, I'm not. I'm like, somebody has to move. My shoulders are raised. Like, come on.
Well, how long can we get the chain going?
Okay, I'm backing away now.
Yep. How much are you going to give us?
I gotta go pull some cash.
Give you change.
Pizza
made. People are just handing us money and we're going to hand you pizza. Sounds
like a plan. No.
Pizza made. Johnny X is in charge of that.
Pizza made. Okay, now you
get it.
Still collecting.
Well, Johnny gave me conflicting instructions on when to show up. Well, he told me to show up at 10:45, but he also told me not to leave until after the last panel at Space and Science started, which is 10:45. Then you got to make your way through Dragon.
That looks like a bad idea.
The first rule is don't panic. The second rule is always know where your towel is.
Rule number one. We're collecting pizza money over here. Pizza money over here. We got some pizza. Do you want change? All right. Collecting pizza money over here. Okay. Still collecting pizza money. Hello. Pizza money. We going to get some pizza. No, no beer near computer. No beer near computer. That way. No open beer near computer.
Open beer. Beer by computer's okay.
Yeah, no open beer by computer, please.
How far has it gotten?
This computer is in use and has been locked.
Thank you. No, I was just curious if it had cracked it yet.
Johnny X's, open your beer.
Open your beer.
How long is it going to take to get the pizza?
We have no idea. This is Dragon Con.
Okay. I'm coming back. I'm going away for
Okay.
It will take more than 20 minutes to collect all the money.
We have to go see the Goths in the secret room ball.
Okay. We'll still be here. The pizza will still be here. Don't worry. If you fall asleep, we'll write on you. Thank you. Still collecting money for pizza. Some random number that Randall hasn't
heard. We're up to about a quarter of an inch.
Yeah. Okay. Oh! Oh! Party foul!
Sudden gust of.
You gotta drink it.
Sudden gust of.
Not near the computer. All right. Party foul. Party foul. Still collecting money for pizza. Party foul. Are you guys sober at all? Just clumsy. Okay, understood.
You're definitely
That's an emergency exit. I can't open that one without alarms going off.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
As much beer as we have right now, I don't want I don't want any alarms going off.
As much beer as we have right here, I don't want any alarms going off.
Wise choice.
Johnny gave me conflicting instructions. All right. Nope, I can't.
I was trying to hack the air conditioner.
I said I cannot guarantee that your beer will not be rooted.
Notice that when I'm drinking.
Great. Now we're gonna set off the sprinklers.
Georgia, don't drink too much.
All right.
Still collecting money for pizza. Still collecting money for pizza.
Responsible for it.
Nothing.
That would probably be worse than the alcohol.
Thank you.
He's gone already?
Yeah, that was my. I actually asked him.
What the?
You know what? He must be losing his ability to hold his alcohol.
No, I think it's more like he's gaining an ability to find women.
Oh, okay. I'm not counting, I'm just sorting, so you're not messing me up. Yes. Yes, he has a coupon.
What? How's it going, man?
He's put that thing on commercial airliners.
Had fun?
What do we got?
I don't know, I'm just sorting it.
Did you see that the other day, Ron?
What?
Kaz had some Monty Python's whole original.
Rock on, you feel
live about a quarter inch.
I told him I've actually got
20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 9, 10, 11, 12.
What the hell? Okay. 94.
Thank you. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 100. Those of you trying to mess me up.
What is wrong with you? He told her that she had to get zapped to get a beer. You lose major what points for that. All right, grab whatever you want.
They said grab whatever you want.
$35
$1.
I was off by this bit.
Yeah.
So this must have been on the fives.
Yeah.
That should be 22.
Okay, so
I think the scotch is
big. I have $2 more.
No, we've got 22.
You see, I just wasn't gonna let it.
Probably stick close to it. There's lots of people here even more lecherous than we are.
$115.62.
God damn.
And I haven't even thrown in money yet. What's this, you, Johnny?
I organize this event. This is my payment.
This is my panel. Of course, this is my payment.
Okay. He gets part of this because he actually kicked in $40 for
beer.
I'm not giving receipts. So.
You got change back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that one is really what I moved before. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Everyone's supposed to kick in to get some. You just went over in a pop. Yeah.
Okay, Johnny. Now the hard part. What kind of pizza do we want?
Garbage pizza. All right. I'll take over this part here.
Beef, pepperoni.
Okay.
No vegetables.
Pencil, juice, paper.
Corn and cuttlefish.
Yes.
What?
One that is cheese and pineapple.
No vegetables.
Cheese.
Wait,
pineapple.
If you just like cheese, why are you
eating pizza? No vegetables.
Because you can get white pizza.
Vegetables.
Meat.
What?
You can get pizza without tomato sauce.
That makes
meat.
It white.
Oh.
All right. What kind of pizzas we going to get?
Meat.
Cheese and pineapple.
What kind of meat? I got the cheese.
All of it. All
right. We're going to get a meat lovers. We're going to get a cheese and pineapple. What else?
Meat lovers. Cheese.
Pepperoni.
Line up one at a time and tell me what you want.
One without cheese.
I want cheese and sauce.
Mushrooms, onions, and green pepper. Somebody said vegetarian. That's why there is like a green bar.
Black olives and any
a
kind of
a plain pizza.
You mean you don't like tomatoes?
Perfect stuff.
Oh, a cheese pizza. Not like just a pile of melted cheese.
How hard is it?
Remember that thin crust?
At least a couple large plates.
Yeah. You can pick the pineapples out of the cheese.
No!
Oh man, that leaves such a horrible name.
Meat lovers, veggies, black olive, and pepperoni.
That's
yes, cream.
Who are we ordering from?
Great over to us.
Papa John's, traditionally.
As many extra garlic butter sauce cups as you can get.
Yeah, that's
everybody needs their own cup.
Is planning the operative word?
Johnny, I was never planning on sleeping with you.
Get in.
I was planning on sleeping with you.
Where did that come from?
I flicked Johnny off and Ray told me that she didn't want me to talk to Johnny, and I said I was planning on it. She said I'm a great part by telling him that. I got plain cheese. You asked, she's been drinking cheese. I'm not drunk enough to. Okay, fair enough. I had to be not sober for that live journal panel, so I'm starting sober up. Do you have any ham on there? We got a meat. Oh, yours. Meat loves is good. Six pizzas?
Just that?
Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking pizza toppings. Flavors of pizza. Okay, that's wonderful. Anything else? I got Vegemite. If you want it, we have Vegemite to put on your pizza.
Only if I get to decide who eats it.
Do you have Vegemite to put on other people's pizzas?
Yes. They have Vegemite. Vegemite's great stuff. It tastes like used beer.
No, Vegemite.
It is used beer.
Vegemite's more like that ramen flavoring pack. It's like pizza puff.
I know what Vegemite is. Yeah. It's used beer flavored ramen pack.
Ramen packets. Yeah. Put them in a pixie stick.
Yeah. That.
Yes,
because every moment is agonizing.
Which one? Or I'm going to come over there and I'm going to harass beer.
You're harassing me already.
He might like
I'm a shining blonde.
Did you want light beer or dark beer?
That one is.
Which do you like? Hit the camera.
I like that.
Well, then have one of these.
Well, have one of those.
There isn't
We're
anymore.
Out. Oh. She has to drink beer now.
This is the closest thing up here to that.
We have this much money.
It ain't very close, but it's the closest thing up here to that.
Please.
Did you open the art exhibit at all?
Save that for tomorrow. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Today.
There's a couple of artists over there. Amy something?
Amy something Howell.
Oh, you're talking about Artist Alley or the art exhibit?
The art room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amy Howell
does absolutely
incredibly good, detailed, realistic pencil drawings. Mostly black and white, some color, gorgeous shading. Probably the best artist over there.
I've taken off all the clothes.
Amy, what's your last name?
Amy Howell Henderson. Go in Hangarite.
Okay.
Also down there, almost
until it tells you what.
Almost down there, you'll see some stuffed animal kind of things. It's like a griffin and stuff. But these
we
are
need
cool
to find a way to rig
got
the
a
DVD
bowl
up.
Of like stuffed mice.
We're not using the one in the space room. Someone wants
there's
to get
one
it.
Other artist over there who's almost on the back wall in that same vicinity.
Somebody needs to close that one down.
Who's got really funny stuff. The artwork's crap, frankly.
Eric and Chad were there.
For example, he has a picture of an ant with the two hobbits riding on him. He says, run, Forrest, run.
Oh,
and a bunch of stuff like that.
I haven't Mr. seen
Mr.
X.
What? Don't forget you gotta go close the room.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm gonna go ahead.
Well,
okay.
While you're there, get the DVD player.
Get the DVD player and audio cables.
Okay.
Because I brought DVDs.
Alright. Woo! What are we watching?
I brought The Daycare Stood Still, Buckaroo Banzai, and Adventures of the Eighth Dimension,
What answer do you want to hear?
Would you like me to? I don't remember the third one, I have to look.
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I didn't bring it, it's up in the room.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
And not in front of Brandon.